Hello everybody, here I am in Battersea Park, London, and how apt is it that a football match is going on long far behind me? And this is where the very first football match was played according to the Football Association's rules on the 9th of January 1864. So the Football Association had been founded only a few months earlier at a pub called the Mason's Arms in London, very close to Royal Masonic Hall. It's around the corner from Drury Lane on a street called Long Acre. So football been around since the Middle Ages. Even in ancient Roman times, in Italy, there was some sort of similar football. In the Middle Ages, they were playing it. It was very, very violent. There had to be no rules, and it was even banned for a while because it led to so many deaths and injuries. And indeed, the government thought it distracted people from archery, which is training for war. So then the trainer was invented in 1825. Now, because previously, football was very localized. In some counties, it was 10 a side, some counties might be 15 a side, some counties everybody could touch the ball, some counties only the goalie could touch the ball, some counties not even the goalkeeper could touch the ball. And how long is a half? Is it 40 minutes? Is it 45 minutes? Is it half an hour? Is there no half time or what? I mean, what's the regulation length of a pitch and size of a goal and so forth? So, which didn't matter until people started traveling a very long way. And because of railways, it was feasible to travel over 100 miles in one day and play a match in a part of the country where the rules were considered different and squabbling. So what is the rule? And the referee himself was often in the dark. So they decided to sort it out by setting up the Football Association. And that's when they wrote down the rules of football, and it spread across the world, partly through the British Empire. They say often sort of railway engineers for bringing railways to places like Russia. And obviously it spread like wildfire. So with not so many years, it was 1930 was the Football World Cup. All right. So more about Battersea Park. This is open land, and behind it was Lavender Hill. And yes, lavender used to grow there. And that's why there's a street with that name. But anyway, this was countryside until the 1830s. It was quite marshy near the river. And then there was an act of parliament in the 1840s to enclose it, create this park of over 80 hectares. Of course, they used to express it in acres in the old days. I'm quite metric. Euro-skeptic though I am, I rightly recognize metric is a far more sensible system. We happy for the UK to follow us in the Republic of Ireland and go completely metric. So what else? It was a royal park at one point, and what else has changed about things, about here in Battersea Park? So this area of London is called Battersea, and it's just south of the River Thames. So famous people like George Bernard Shaw, Sean O'Casey used to live just off here, Flanders of Swan, one of those guys. I think it's Swan, the one who's half Turkmen. And all sorts of musical events have taken place here. I remember also dog shows, 1998, there was Bark in the Park, concerts. Now, near here, this is where Bob Marley was living, but he lived, I think, over the bridge in Chelsea. You can see a plaque on his house. He'd also lived somewhere near in Fitzrovia. But anyway, and he used to train for football here whilst recording the album Exodus. So he spent some time in Londinium. Of course, he was like quite British on his father's side. I think more specifically Irish. But he didn't think he claimed a British or Irish citizenship, because of course by the 1970s, Jamaicans couldn't automatically settle in the United Kingdom, which they've been able to do until the 60s. What else about Battersea Park? It's got a big pond here, so a lot of jogging, amateur football. I remember bumping into Johnny Vaughan here in 20 years ago, just after that thing he, Space Cadets, where they selected people for their stupidity and gullibility and told them they're being trained in 1 week to go into space, and that they were thought they were in a spaceship, and then they're going to go out of the spaceship to do a spacewalk and find they're actually on land, meeting all their friends and relatives. And there's a big Buddhist peace memorial, things like that. So a lovely spot, and there's obviously Battersea Park Station. We're quite close to Battersea Dogs Home. So you can see some of the trees would have been planted in about the 1840s. See how tall they are when this became a public park like that. There was a little gallery. There have been concerts. Peter Gabriel's played here. Sometimes there are obviously cooking events, teaching how to cook. Levi Roots famously did that some years ago, the guy who invented that special sauce, and he's very much part of the brand. And over here you see the Prince Albert Pub, a well-known gastro pub. That's the Prince Albert Pub there, because there's Albert Bridge beyond, okay, over the river. So some of it is kind of quite manicured gardens. They left some of it a little bit wild. Looking at this little house here, say LCC, 1891 is in London County Council, because London is now 32 boroughs, including the City of London, the City of Westminster. But go back to the 1880s, there's about 85 boroughs. What we now call London north of the river was mostly Middlesex. The bit, the very northeast of it was the county of Essex, bit of Essex. South of the river was Surrey to the west, I think we were probably in Surrey, and to the east was Kent. And this was ridiculous. So a borough was a town, as in within a county. So the City of London was only the square mile around St Paul's Cathedral. So that was a very, very small area. But because there was no countryside, they'd all grown into each other. It was ridiculous for these 85 boroughs not to coordinate at all, because there was running water, there was gas, electricity had started, the Metropolitan Police had to be able to operate, and not just the county constabularies. It was effectively one city. Like, there was a church, St Martin, in the fields, and that really was in the fields, in the countryside between Westminster and London. And they said that we need to recognise reality and adjust the boundaries. What else? So that's why they decided to change things. They took some land out of Essex, they took some land out of Surrey and Kent, and they abolished the county of Middlesex. They amalgamated it all, call it Greater London. 85 boroughs still in Greater London. In the 60s, they simplified it again, and they slimmed it down to 32 boroughs, amalgamating two and sometimes three boroughs, usually just taking the name of one of them, yeah? There are exceptions like Kensington and Chelsea, which is why it's got two town halls. There was Kensington Town Hall and Chelsea Town Hall. Both buildings still exist. It's really just the Chelsea one they use for weddings. I think the Kensington one is a sort of rather modern, bland 20th century building that they is the real administrative nerve centre. Whereas, and then there's Hammersmith and Fulham, which why there's a Hammersmith Town Hall and a Fulham Town Hall, and effectively they use the Hammersmith one, and the Fulham one has been derelict for years on a very busy road, so not very suitable to turn into a restaurant or a hotel because there's nowhere to park. And people haven't tried to convert into flats or anything. All right, so that's a little bit about Battersea Park. There's a big Buddhist peace pagoda here, so it's got a very serene look onto the River Thames, very tranquil, so therapeutic to look out onto water, where people pay a premium to do so. And across the way was the house of the Marquess of Ripon, who was Viceroy of India in the early 20th century. And it made me think, well, wow, this guy had such power in about 300 million people, and this is where he retired to. Quite different from India, but, you know, a very soothing sight. So blissful on a fairly crisp January morning. It was only 2 degrees. There were quite clear skies, this morning. But, you know, the nimbus is there right now. All right, so that's a little bit of a walk around Battersea Park, where I've been coming, you know, so much of my life. What can I say? So no demonstrations have ever been held here, to my knowledge. And the Thames is quite wide here, which is why they didn't build bridges here till the 20th century. There was some rather dodgy wooden bridge in the early 19th century. I don't think it ever collapsed, but that's obviously long since been replaced. Queenstown Road is also a nearby station, but that, they're both mainline railway stations, not tube stations, if you ever wanted to come here. Not too far from Battersea Power Station. So I know some people like to call this South Chelsea, but the Thames is a very obvious barrier. That Chelsea is north of the Thames and Battersea is south of the Thames. All right, so maybe you can see what I'm talking about. That's where the River Thames is. Go a little bit closer. And that Chelsea to the mid-19th century, again, was countryside. And it was, some of it was market gardens for London. And so these are usually mid-19th century houses, red brick houses, and they're like 5 stories high, seldom taller, because it's before lifts. And remember, there are no hip replacements then. Women obviously went through an average of 6 pregnancies, so going up and down the stairs was even more laborious than it would be today. I'll show you what I'm talking about. And look at some of these boats there. Are any of them houseboats? And I can't point out exactly which one the Marquess of Ripon is, his house, Lord Ripon, as in Ripon being a town in Yorkshire, from which he derived his title. The surname was Robinson, and one of his ancestors had been Prime Minister in the 1830s, 1820s. Right, thanks everybody, thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, George Callahan, 7 9, and gmail.com.